Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Well, physically, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. Those who had been scattered as a result of the persecution that started because of Stephen made their way as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the message to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, Cypriot and Cyrenian men, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Hellenists, proclaiming the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. Then the report about them was heard by the church that was at Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to travel as far as Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with a firm resolve of their heart. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a large number of people were added to the Lord. Then he went to Tarsus to search for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church, taught large numbers. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Father, thank you this morning again, Father, for your word. Thank you for truth, God. Thank you that you are the God of all ages, all eternity, and there is none other than you. There is none greater than you are. Father, I pray this morning that your Spirit would speak to our hearts, convict us, transform us. Father, whatever it is today that you want to do, Lord, hedge this building with your protective angels, God, this property. Purge anything that would not honor or glorify you so that the whole entire focus of this assembly is in all things you exalted and preeminent. God, hide me behind the cross, Lord, and we give all this and ask it in the precious name above all names, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, I won't dwell on it a long time, but we see this battle again with this Old Testament versus New Testament theology. They're wanting to share the gospel strictly with Jews. And as I've referenced the last few weeks, this was not the purpose of the new covenant. A doorway had been opened. We see that over and over. You saw with Peter and the unclean animals and how God was abolishing all of these food requirements, all of the sacrificial customs of the law in the Old Testament. And we're watching this again unfold, and it's just a progression, slowly reiterating these truths, and people would get caught up again in that religious tradition for a minute, and then we'd watch them get set free from it, in a sense, and in some cases just to go back in this battle for a while, because again, all this was basically new. Would have been extremely difficult. I shared that with you last week, and again, listen to verses 19 and 20. Those who had been scattered as a result of the persecution that started because of Stephen, made their way as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the message to no one except Jews. There were some of them, Cypriot and Cyrenian men, who came to Antioch, began speaking to the Hellenists, proclaiming the good news about the Lord Jesus. This is the first thing that I want to share with you this morning, and it is this: all things work together for good. Of course, it's a Bible verse we know in Romans 8:28. Of course, the end of that is, to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, but as followers of Christ, that's why I just used the first part. Now, the issue that we see right there is the first part of that. Those have been scattered as a result of the persecution that started because of Stephen. If you remember, we went through this, we studied this, we looked at it, and we realized in chapter 7 with this stoning of Stephen, it's so hard to see that and to wonder why. It doesn't make sense. Why would they, you know, God, why would you allow this to happen in the sense the newly birthed church, this is so counterproductive to the gospel going forth. Well, we see now some of the fruits. Now remember, at the end of that chapter 7, when Stephen takes his last breath, they're throwing their cloaks at the feet of Saul, who is Paul. And look what God did on the road to Damascus. He saved this man we know as Saul. He's the Apostle Paul, and God uses him in such a mighty way, but this is the reiteration of the beauty in God's promises. We can't see past today. We don't have the ability to see we don't have the ability to see 20 minutes from now. But God does. See, God knew this event was going to happen when the stoning of Stephen happened. God knew that these ones that had been scattered as a result of the persecution that made their way. And what are they doing? They're spreading the gospel. It's going out. And how easy it is for us as Christians to do what? Stay together. It's easy, isn't it? It's very easy. I think that's why God placed, and you can think I'm crazy, but I think that's why God, with the DNA, when you see in the very beginning, I married your brother and sister, right? Family reunions were easy. Well, then God ultimately is like, wait a second, we need these people to go ye therefore and make disciples. So I think that's why God made it where brothers and sisters, this doesn't work. Close relatives, why? You've got to go. You've got to go out there because the gospel never goes out there if we don't go. We minister where it's comfortable, don't we, by nature? Oh, God, I'll serve you forever. Just don't let me leave Unionville. Well, wait, do you want my will, your will, or God's will? It's so easy to want our will, and it's so easy to send money or to do this or do that, but what about being a part of something? All those that sacrificed this week at VBS, you know you had a million other things you could have done. But you sacrificed. It was time for the Lord, for his kingdom, for his power, his glory. That's what matters, is these things that God only knows. God's going to use it that we can't see right now. The mighty harvest that will be a result of it. We know from God's promises that God's word never returns void. And that's a promise. Not my promise, it's God's. So that's what's so beautiful, is the understanding that even that terrible event with the stoning of Stephen, as he's praying for their forgiveness in his last breath, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. What a beautiful picture of forgiveness. That a man who was going through an event that, I would be honest with you, I believe it would have been really hard to even think anything as people are hurling rocks at you, taking your very life. But what we know from Scripture, greater love hath no one than this, than one that lays down their life for their friends. Stephen knew that the gospel going forth, it was worth every ounce of every last breath in his body. Because then, what does he do? He sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. Praise God. See, all things work together for good. And even those things that we don't understand sometimes, the 1 Kings chapter 19 with Elijah. You know, you see these mighty works of God, and you see Elijah up on Mount Carmel with the Baal prophets. Then what happens the next day? He hears word, Jezebel says, sure as I live, he's going to be dead. What's he doing running? You know, it's so easy for us to get in a spiritual victory place and uh-oh, what, God, what's going on? You imagine being Elijah then. And by the way, I always have a hard time with that because, man, Elijah just, in a sense, walked in the Spirit like not many people in Elisha. And yet here, a man of such godly integrity and character was running from who? This wicked queen? Shows that we can all fall into that. And even in trusting God with this belief that all things work together for good, we can fall into these mindsets of thinking, oh, I better go out and fix this because I think God's left me high and dry. No. God hadn't left us high and dry. If anybody's failing somewhere, who is it? It's notably us. Whether it's our faith or our battle, our struggle, no, God's going to do his part. He bats 1,000. God never breaks his promise, and I praise and thank him for that. And then this verse 21 again. The Lord's hand was with them, and a large number who believe turned to the Lord. Leads the second thing I want to share with you this morning out of those verses. It's the blessing of God cannot be underestimated. How many times have we looked at that picture of Philip going out into the middle of nowhere when God tells him to go to the Ethiopian eunuch, not telling him, hey, I want you to go to the desert road. Not saying, by the way, there's a man out there that's going to have the potential to transform a whole continent for the kingdom. No, go. By the way, leave a vibrant ministry spot and go to the middle of nowhere. That's basically like the military when they send you to Siberia to monitor the air. It's in a sense a great demotion. You're getting chastised in a sense. Philip had that ability to go, "What do you mean, God? I'm not leaving. No, this can't be you, because I'm in here involved in the work, actively a part of your kingdom building here where I'm at." No, Philip goes. Same way Abraham goes. And God says to go, go, because the blessing of God can never be underestimated. You know, I'll have moms sometimes when they're going to go from schooling their child to homeschooling, they'll say, "You know, I just don't want to make the wrong decision." And I say, "Hey, if you've prayed about it and God's leading you to do it." You know, I hear even political people have made a statement. I'll never forget one in particular who said, "Stay-at-home moms are unused potential." Oh, my goodness gracious. Don't ever underestimate God's ability and the ability, that blessing of God. Don't ever underestimate, in the midst of obedience, that blessing of God, because outside of that obedience is a pain, is a hurt, a heartache, and destruction like we can never imagine. We never experience that blessing of God outside of His plan, whatever it might be. Don't underestimate that desert ministry experience like Philip was called to go do. And that's what you're seeing right there. The Lord's hand, ready? The Lord's hand was with them, on them. And a large number who believed turned to the Lord. So you think, with old Stephen and all these ones that were scattered in this ministry that results from all of this, these different various things that God uses. And that's the incredible thing about the mind of God. We don't have the time to go into it. I don't think we have the mental capacity to fully understand it. But, okay, we know our little few people, right? And even in this church, if you think about every place, and we took on a map and drew and connected everywhere we are all at on any given week. You know, we got people today in other states, way away, all over the north and south of this country from our church. Can you imagine that God already knows, by the way, He knows it from infinity past. God knows how to supernaturally work every, now we're just thinking about us. If we're trying to think, okay, and we knew every situation that was going to happen with every one of us, how God uses this for His glory. We couldn't even mentally, there's no way we can mentally wrap our minds around the next 30 years of the things that we do and how God allows each one of those things and interconnects things to make it be used for His glory, His kingdom, His power, His work. God's able to do exceeding abundantly above what? All we can ask or think, according to power that works in us. Ephesians 3:20. That's profound to me. Because again, I just talked to you about this. Now, what about the other? They said it's getting ready to turn to 8 billion people. I think they said it's getting ready to turn in the worldwide. God knows every other person and how many hairs fall off their heads around the world. Now that is staggering to me. It's staggering. I can't even remember sometimes where I put my shoes. And sometimes I go, "You know, Lord, I just wish You could tell me right now. You know where they're at." It's so beyond understanding, but that is our God. And to think about how, when you look at those pictures from the Webb telescope, God spoke that into existence from nothing in 6 days. Wow. We've got a powerful God, amen? He is awesome. But see, Acts chapter 5, when you think about these plans that are not of God, you ready? This is what I always look at, because I always think, you know, sometimes we want to do what we want to do, and Lord, I'm just tired of being, I'm about time to serve me for a little while. I'm ready to go have some fun. Acts chapter 5, verse 38 and 39, this one always resonates with me. "For if the plan or this work is of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even be found fighting against God Himself." By the way, what they were trying to do is to stop the work of the Lord from advancing, if you remember this story in Acts 5. This was not even a follower of Christ. He had just seen enough of the work of God to say, "Listen, you better be really careful what you're trying to do, because You'll find yourself fighting against God, because remember the uprising? You remember what, I'm paraphrasing now, you remember what happened during the uprising, right? Hey, these people were squad, nothing came of it. They were all abandoned, they were dispersed. So it's going to fix itself if you just leave it alone and it's not true or it's not right. But if you find yourself fighting against something, you will not prevail. And that applies to us. Don't fight with God. God wants you to do something, just do it. Love the unlovable. Because even though it runs contradictory to our human nature, it's what we're called to do as Christians. Is it going to be people that you have a hard time dealing with? Yes, we all deal with that. How many times have you had a hard time dealing with yourself? Amen? This is the summer, man. We get hot and we're about to fall to pieces. It's just life. Come all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See, we've got Bible truths to give us the strength at those times when we're struggling, when we're going through things that we can't begin to understand how we're going to take another step. He will carry us. He's the God that never leaves. He never forsakes us. So again, the blessing of God cannot be understated. Please believe that. Write that truth down. I'll give you so many more verses that correlate and literally affirm those truths. Don't ever underestimate that blessing of God and think, well, you know what? I'm going to go out here and I'm going to act like a fool because, you know what I mean? It doesn't work. The only thing we find is great pain. And as the song in Keith Green, Run to the End of the Highway, we can run, we'll run farther than we want to go, we'll stay longer than we want to stay, and it'll cost us more than we want to pay. And then we move on to verses 22 through 24. Then the report about them was heard by the church that was at Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to travel as far as Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with a firm resolve of the heart. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a large number of people were added to the Lord. What a good, isn't that just an awesome ending to that verse? Don't you like to hear that? A large number were added. I've heard in some versions, and the Lord added greatly to the church. It multiplied greatly. There's a lot of different ways it says that. The third and final thing I want to share with you this morning is the gospel message should be multiplied, not divided. Now, this is one that people struggle with, you know. You'll have someone that doesn't agree dispensationally with you. You know, they'll have a different, you know, they'll believe in a, you know, maybe not believe in a literal rapture, or maybe they believe in speaking in tongues, and maybe they believe in this and that, or they believe they don't believe in, like we do, laying on of hands, anointing with oil, and they go, you know, that's apostolic time, and we don't do that, and we don't believe that God supernaturally intervenes in lives and things, and they will go as far as to kind of break fellowship with anybody who doesn't agree with the way that they believe dispensationally. I struggle with that. Why don't we focus, if they're denying that Jesus Christ, the virgin-born Son of God, if they are denying that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, crucified, 3 days rose from the grave, now we're going to have to talk about that. Because those are very serious, that's a very serious issue. But someone has a different understanding or a different way, and they believe something a little bit, you know, they believe in, let's say, full-blown, smack-dab predestination. You can go outside, don't do anything, and if you're going to be saved, it's going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it, whatever, and the other way, and there's no way that person could come to Christ because they're not, you're going to break fellowship with them? Let me just tell you what to do. Focus on what unites you. The virgin birth, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his desire to come to faith in Christ, because that's there is no way you can avoid seeing that his desire is that none should perish. Focus on the gospel the best that you can, don't break fellowship with everybody, because what you end up doing is seeing a whole lot of division. God's bigger. Now, do I say you should not speak truth into the issue if it comes up in conversation? Do it, but do it lovingly. Do it with grace. Do it with patience. That's what you need to do. If somebody wants to argue for the sake of argument, excuse yourself from it. If someone believes because you don't do this or that, you're going to hell, you can just let them think whatever they want to say. Don't even come back with a, judge not lest ye be judged, because that's not healthy to that, is it? You're not going to win that conversation because they don't want in any way a good godly dialogue, do they? Focus. Let's say you're having a they're having an interfaith gathering. Go and use the ability for you to go be a light for Christ. Share truth. Love them. You don't have to agree with everybody. There's a lot of people that believe a lot differently than other people. Does that mean that you just section off the whole? No. The love of Christ, how many people have come to faith in Christ because a follower of Christ lived like Christ? I've got one of them. If you want to see a powerful, powerful testimony of that, I've got a guy who came out of Mormonism as a result of a Southern Baptist pastor in Florida who shared the love of Jesus Christ and was willing to take the time to invest in a Mormon missionary on his mission. There's not many people more ardent and more solid in their belief than a Mormon missionary. Usually you see them on a bicycle. They have their little black tags on them. That is what they actually say on there is mission field for you and I. And in reality, it says Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and it says their name on it. But they believe that that's part of being able to go to heaven one day is a very important, integral part of the Mormon faith. Those are mission fields. But if we go, oh, I won't talk to them because I don't believe like they do, what have you just done? You have, in a sense, excluded them from the gospel, the truth. This young man's testimony, and by the way, his mother and father were high up bishops in the Mormon church, they ended up coming to Christ. I'm telling you, you watch it, you'll be literally wanting to jump up on your table and shout glory, hallelujah. It'll bring you to tears, I will tell you that. Because now this young man is sharing his testimony all over the world of how Jesus Christ, through the obedience of a little podunk Florida Southern Baptist preacher that loved Jesus more than the differences in there too, and loved him with the love of Christ, and God convicted this young man, brought him to truth, and now he is a passionate lover of Christ Jesus, who then, and by the way, he shares in there what it was like going back. Can you imagine when you have come back from your mission and say, I gave my life to Christ Jesus. Do what? It didn't go over well, I will tell you that. But God saved this young man, and this young man risked losing his entire family, his friends, and everything because he knew there was nothing to go back to. But that's what I'm saying when I say the gospel message should be multiplied, not divided. There's a danger with us believing, well, we have all the truth and I don't want to talk. I'm not getting near nobody else because, now, do I believe you should subject your children to a Bible school or something of someone who are very, very different theologically? Be very careful. I will assure you, you need to be. But you as an adult follower of Christ, you know what truth is. You know what God's word says, and it's a whole different ballgame. Be wise as a serpent. Scripture says harmless as a dove. Don't let the enemy use our religion, our religious conviction, to end up separating us from our mission field. Do I believe you should go immerse yourself 12 hours a day in your mission field and not have that ability to recognize, wait a second, this influence, what scriptures say about bad company corrupts good character? We got to be careful. Yes, we have mission fields, but the Bible says don't yoke yourself with unbelievers, meaning yoke yourself as in a relationship. You got to be very careful. Recognize difference in ministry versus relationship. Very important to understand. I know some very godly people that have been shipwrecked, as Acts says, theologically, because they were doing a good thing, but they ended up yoking themselves with someone who made it their fundamental absolute conviction to overturn this new friend and his really good passion and purpose in trying to just be a light to them. They ended up theologically shipwrecking this person. Now the person made their own decisions, but what I'm saying is make sure your spiritual sponge is in the water of life. Make sure it is full. If you're not in your word and not in prayer, you're not in fellowship and you're not in accountability, and you decide you're going to go down to the bar to do bar ministry, I would encourage you to stay away. Don't do it. Foolishness. What happens to a dry sponge? It's got nothing to wring out. So if you're not in God's word, you're not growing in the word, you're not in prayer with the Lord, and you're not deeply yoked to the Father, but also in accountability. So when a brother or sister in Christ that is in your church body sees that you start getting off the, your wheels start falling off, proverbially speaking, you go, hey, you okay? Something doesn't seem right. Why? You've been a dry sponge. It's been out, and guess what? Your sponge is caught on fire. You have become stagnant. You can have those people in your life to make sure that your sponge hasn't got too wet, or say, hey, you know, you might want to take a little season right now to just grow deeply again, to get back in the old spiritual bucket, so to speak, and absorb and grow and take a little time. And some people think that's, you know, I right now I don't need to take a break. I just need to, no, you better be, because the next thing you know, you might not have anything spiritual in your life left. Shipwrecked is exactly what it means. Shipwrecked. Where's that ship going? Nowhere fast. It is on the rocks, and it can happen to any one of us. Take heed when we think we stand, lest we fall. Or the old analogy, kids. Oh, I'm dating this unbeliever, but you know how? No, I'm just doing it so I can share the gospel with them. Next thing you know, you've justified marrying an unbeliever, and you figure out that, this wasn't a good idea. Well, they're going to get saved, trust me. Really? Okay. Well, you're doing, first of all, something that God's word explicitly tells you not to do. Light and darkness, what? Hath no fellowship. That should have been a ministry for not you. Be very careful with your ministry, because these really good intentions sometimes can lead us to great disasters. Great intentions are wonderful if it's part of God's plan that lines up with Scripture, but what is a good plan that's outside of God's purpose and will? It's a wreck. It actually equals, in big letters, bold, P-A-I-N, pain. Be very careful. Scripture talks about this over and over and over again. Our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There's no way to do a good thing the wrong way. If we do a good thing, if we do it, what is that? Actually, I might have said that the wrong way. We can't do the right thing the wrong way. You pray about it and go, you know what, Lord, I'm going to go do this because I know this is a kingdom thing, it's godly, it's scriptural, and it's going to be fine, Lord. If God has not led you to do that, is that true? No. Lord, I know this is what you want me to do. Wait a minute. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into what? Your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. And by the way, I didn't think anything to do with us leading it. It says he will direct, in some versions say, make your paths straight. So this actually, in my opinion, from Scripture, shows the work of God in leading us, not us leading ourselves. Because once again, we're not real good spiritual navigators, church. I'm going to be honest with you. You might be one of those people that they could spin around 1,000 times and drop in the middle of another state, and you'd know what direction's which. You try that spiritually and find out what happens to you. We are very weak. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work. That's what Scripture says. So therefore, the only navigator in our life that's ever going to navigate us effectively and to bring about the beauty of God's purpose and plan is the God of creation. And it's not comfortable. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm not going to be disingenuous in saying, oh, it's wonderful sometimes. It's all the time. It's great. It's great. Man, when you don't know what to do and you just say, God, I'll just wait as long as you need me to. Yeah. Anybody in here a go-getter? Majority of you are. You want to get something done. You want to do something even for what God, okay, God, let's knock this out. What if God says, wait? The Scripture says, those that wait on the Lord. Those that wait. Ask Joseph about waiting. Ask every one of them, for that matter, in Scripture about waiting. It's ultimately, though, it's not our plans, not our purposes, it's God's. And that gospel message, church, and our focus should be multiplied. Don't justify your sin of not having a conversation with your neighbor because, well, they believe in speaking, and I don't believe in that. Wait a second, it doesn't matter what you and I, you just unite under the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a tongue speaker and they're not. Don't let that offend you. Hey, share the gospel with them. Pray together. Start praying together. How about pray for them? God, let me be a lighthouse, Lord. God, don't let me do what's so easy for us to do. Let's point out the things in the lives that separate us. No. Lord, let me look at the things that unite us. To God be the glory, because the last time I checked, God's desire is that none should perish. The gospel is a gospel message that must be proclaimed to the world. Church, I'm going to just tell you right now, this nation is not in the place that it's at because people have had this mindset. I hate to say that. I have met, and I never thought it would happen in this country. I've met people that have never heard the name of Jesus. You might say, there's no way. I know for a fact because I have talked to them. I've met people that don't know who Abraham is. I've met people that don't know who Adam and Eve are. I know people who have never seen a Bible. You said, there's no way. Yes, I know for a fact because I've met them personally. And I was stunned the first time I ever met one. It was about 13 years ago. Stunned. How in this nation? What? The problem is this is becoming more prevalent, even in these communities that we live in. They're becoming antagonistic to the gospel truth. That doesn't change our mission field. We can't get mad and cloister up and say, we're not going to tell anybody now because I'm not going to let anybody talk to me like that. Remember, they're going to have an issue with us because they had an issue with Jesus. That doesn't change the command to go ye therefore and make disciples. That's what God's word says. And again, all things work together for good. Recognize that even in the circumstances and situations in our life that are not optimal or downright painful. Trust God's purpose, his plan. And remember, number two, the blessing of God cannot be underestimated. Do what God's called and commanded you to, because that blessing of him, don't ever underestimate what God's going to do, what God's going to use you and I for, even if we're, in a sense, a Philip in the middle of the desert road, in the middle of nowhere, with an encounter with one person. God, use me in a bigger way. No. Use us in obedience, because the obedience of speaking to one person, God can use. And I believe that Ethiopian eunuch went back and was responsible most likely for the gospel being preached to Ethiopia and beyond. That's what's so profound about that. And again, the third and final thing, the gospel message should be multiplied and not divided. Now this morning, my question for all of us is, are you in religion? You have a relationship with Christ? Is God boxed in your life? Meaning, do you have a God box that we all grow up with one of those? I remember the day that I realized it myself. And I remember praying and confessing it as sin and really watching the work of God after that in a mighty way and recognizing the power of God after that little God box that I didn't realize that I had, believing that, you know, God doesn't heal anymore and God, you know, he's the God that's, he's there, but he's not intimately involved with me. See, I want to tell you this morning, I believe God is. I believe God answers prayer. I believe God actively. I believe God protects us sometimes physically with angels. I believe God. I believe it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I actually know that. I believe there's spiritual warfare, as God's word says. I think if God pulled the veil back right now, the spiritual warfare around this property right now, every one of us would probably crawl in the basement and go hide. And I'm serious, because we know what Scripture talks about. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And I think that this present darkness, if you've ever seen, it's not an actual, you know, it's just kind of a picture to me of the warfare spiritually that goes on around us. If we could only understand the power of God and his protection over us, and recognizing that prayer and being in God's word is a vital part of that armor. Scripture calls us, commands us, take on the full armor of God. We can't go into battle with an enemy and effectively fight anything unless we use the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal. The most important one, brothers and sisters in Christ, is the sword, the only offensive weapon we have, and that's the sword of the Spirit, God's word. God's word. Are you taking up God's word? Are you impressing those truths on your children and on your own heart and life? Are you, when you're going through a tough times, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 18, "In all things give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning me." Especially when things are really getting bad. That one really applies sometimes. And I just start saying that to myself, "In all things give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning me." And I'll start saying that when things aren't going optimal. Amen? When you're trying to do something and it just is one dismal mess after another, something's broke, something, whatever it might be. "In all things give thanks." That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say, "In all things that go my way, give thanks, but the rest, curse and die." No. It says, "In all things give thanks." So that means good and bad. Really the picture of Job. After he loses everything, getting down the ash pile, "Naked I came, naked I go, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, thank
you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.